Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. How many weeks in lockdown now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I can't count. I don't know what day it is.
But the shops opened back up in England yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Have you bought anything?
No, I just don't. I don't want to go and queue for like half an hour to get into Zara, really. Like, unless I was on my own, maybe. But no, I'm not up for it. How about you?
No. We're like the worst people that have been let out of lockdown ever, aren't we? We should be like, well, I did have a really fun like barbecue with another couple on Sunday, Dozer's mates, and they've got a son. So they came around and sat in the garden. We had like a social distance one, and we ended up just getting really, really boozed. I mean, I was quite pissed by about 7 p.m.
What's new?
I haven't been out. I'm literally just taking it easy this week. I thought I'd be a bit kinder on myself this week because last week was a pretty intense week with loads of work, you know, some Zooms, meetings, writing, all that kind of stuff. And then obviously work at the weekend. So I thought this week I'd just have quite a chilled one. I think we might even go and play some more golf.
Oh, nice. It's nice that you can do that, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, really, I mean, I do like going to the shops, but you know, when you have kids, it's not really a thing, is it? Like going and wandering aimlessly around the shops, like unless someone's got your kids, it's really not that fun.
No.
It's more like go in, grab what you need, come out.
Yeah.
So really what I'm waiting for is like the bars and restaurants to open.
Oh, I think that's
when I'll feel like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like this is a bit more normal.
Just imagine you and me like strutting into the bar, straight out to the terrace. Come on, what are you drinking, girls? Couple of cocktails. We're going to go large. We'll be drunk by, you know, 7 p.m. again.
I was going to say 11:30 a.m.
Although I think I built up a really good tolerance to alcohol during lockdown because I seem to drink it like Ribena now. I never used to drink every night. I'm like that. Glass of wine, gin and tonic.
Do you know what though? The weather makes that okay. No. I think that makes it allowed. It's like on holiday. It doesn't. I mean, I drink at 11 o'clock, 10 a.m. Sometimes I even drink with breakfast on holiday.
Well, you can if it's got orange juice in it, you can drink it.
Or not. Yeah, I don't even add orange juice. That's fine. skip that part. It's just extra sugar, isn't it?
Holidays. Have you got anything booked?
No, we're actually debating this. James is all for it. Like, let's just book somewhere and let's just go. But I don't know.
It's only the quarantine this end.
Yeah, that's the bit. But that doesn't really. I don't know. I think I want to just leave it a couple more weeks. But we might book something. What are you going to do?
We've obviously had Ibiza booked in the diary for the last 4 months, and then we keep having to move it. So every time BA email me going, your flights are cancelled, I'm like, so we've gone to the end of August now. End of August, it's looking like.
That's good. Nice. Yeah, and then do you still have to quarantine when you get back?
Or well, hopefully by that point, it won't be around. But who knows? I think everybody's really confused about what the future holds. And we wrote this post last night about kind of the new normal.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What does that even mean anymore? And I think it's all about staying in the present. You know, we can't look back on what life was like before quarantine. You know, now who knows what's going to happen when they kind of go, things are starting to ease, aren't they? People are starting to get back. But interestingly, people are kind of carving out a new work life for themselves as well, which I think is really interesting. I'm quite proud of that. You know, the 9 to 5, the slogging into wherever you have to go to. I just don't think that'll be a thing now.
No, I don't. Well, I hope it's not as well, especially for, you know, like parents and people who are looking after other people, that make that commute feel like so much more of a waste of time than it already is. I really hope that it does prove to employers that it's so doable to work from home. And actually, do you know what's lovely as well? Like, obviously, I'm not really working at the moment. So, you know, I'm taking the kids out for walks and stuff. You see so many young couples, like, walking around, like, chatting quietly on their own with no children. But I think, do you know what? They probably never used to have this time together. They probably like were chained to their desks before this happened. And then they only probably used to see each other maybe one day at the weekend. And now they just get to go out for, you know, like go out for a walk at lunchtime. And I don't know, I just think it feels so much healthier, like a healthier way of living, although it's in a really bad health crisis. But
I know what you're saying though. It's kind of two sides to the coin, really.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on people in lockdown that don't have children. Dream woman. That would have been so nice. Well, listen, we recorded this chat a while ago, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Before lockdown happened, I think it was actually at the beginning of the year, or maybe at the back end of last year, and somebody recommended Lauren to us. She was like, you know, you've got to get this woman on the podcast. Have you ever spoken to a doula before? And you and I were like, a doula, we've heard of it, but we don't really know what it means or what it is.
No, and we don't know anyone who's had one. And I guess it was just a whole subject, like a whole world and a subject that we just hadn't covered before. So we thought it was quite important to share with you exactly what it is, what they do, particularly if you're pregnant or planning to have a child. Might be interesting.
Yeah, or, you know, if you've had a baby and you're pregnant with your second or third and you're thinking, actually, do you know what, I'm going to have a doula at home, as opposed to, you know, it's particularly under the current climate, the fact that, you know, my friend SJ, she's about to have her baby, we've had her on the podcast, and they're saying to her that she can't go into hospital and she's until she's in active labour. And if she does go in before then Ben, her partner, can't go with her and she's got to do the first bit of labour by herself. So she's like, I'm going to be at home.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and have a home birth. So look, I think things are changing, and you know, maybe this is the time for the doula, or having somebody there with you to kind of, you know, go through the birthing process with you in your own homes.
If you're nervous and you don't know what's happening, and it just have someone there, like an extra pair of hands and a bit of a voice of reason, I guess. To kind of guide you through it.
Yeah, I think you and I learned as well, didn't we, that actually it's not just about the birth, it's about the lead up to the birth, prepping you for it, explaining what happens to the body. They're kind of your like 360 person that you can turn to. And I've just seen actually that Gwyneth Paltrow, she's obviously got Goop, hasn't she? And just done a live with a really amazing doula who's based over in New York called Latham Thomas, who's the founder of Mama Glow. So you definitely need to check her out. Watch that story as well. That was a really powerful conversation. So yeah, we're talking doulas today with
Lauren Mishkin.
So this is really lovely because Georgia and I have never had somebody on the podcast who is this. We have never had a doula on the show before. We've never sat and chatted to one. Georgia and I don't really know huge amounts about being a doula. So when one of our friends came to us and said, you have got to speak to this woman. She is one of the most incredible women, strong, you know, brilliant at her job, and also a fantastic doula. We were like, yes. So the woman in the studio, sign us up today, is the lovely Lauren Mishkin. She is mum to three boys, Max, Zach and Joshua. And she has been registered as a doula since 2007. So she's an absolute pro at it. So Lauren, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
What a lovely introduction. Wow.
So I think Zoe and I were a little bit confused as to what a doula is and does. So I think probably quite a lot of our listeners will be as well. So it'd be great if you could explain why you wanted to be a doula and also exactly what it is and what you are able to provide for expectant parents.
I feel like I should probably start by telling you about the word doula, because a lot of people say, you're a what? You're a dealer? You're a jeweler?
A dealer.
You're a what? And when I started 13 years ago, no one had really heard of that word. Now you say it and a lot of people know. So doula is a Greek word and it translates as woman servant. or woman caregiver. So back in the days when we all lived in a community and in a village, if the women in that village were having a baby, the wise women, the experienced women who had witnessed childbirth and who were experienced in childbirth would come to your hut, your house, and they would be with you while you birthed your baby. And now we've all moved out of our villages and our communities and we're very much separated, and often we have parents who don't live nearby or any family support. So that's kind of been lost. So doulas are bringing that back to women, to families, to the community. So a doula is a trained non-medical professional. So that's quite important. We're lay people, we're not medics.
Yeah. Okay.
And doulas provide continuous physical, emotional and informational support to women before, during and after childbirth. So our purpose is to help women have a safe, memorable and empowering birth experience. Does that sum
that
it up?
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And to answer your question as to how, you want to know how I became?
Yeah.
I was an actor's agent, was my proper job, my real job. And then I had Max in 2004 and I went back part-time. And then I had Zach, my second child, in 2006. And I retired because it was just too much and I wanted to be home and I wanted to raise them. And I started to do my dad's bookkeeping. And he lived at the time across London. So I would drive with the baby in the back of the car across London. And there was a programme on Radio 4 Women's Hour about volunteer doulas in Hull. And they were supporting teenage mums. And I'd never heard the word before. And I listened to the programme and I thought, yeah, I could do that. I had two very straightforward, nice births and there should be people out there promoting that birth is doable and birth is positive and birth is empowering. And I did a bit of research into it and I found a training course and I trained and I thought, oh, well, you know, I'll never work. No one will ever hire me. And I have never stopped working since.
Everyone wants you, Lauren.
Well, I think it's generally become more known about and more popular. And especially in London, there's a lot of women having babies.
So I'm pregnant. Not now. What? Stop the press. I'm pregnant. No, it's not. And it's the immaculate conception because Dawson's had a vasectomy. No, I'm not pregnant. But let's just say I come to you as a pregnant, as a pregnant person. And I say to you, I need a doula.
Yes.
What are you, why have I come to you and what are you going to do for me?
Well, you've come to me for lots of different reasons. Either you've come to me because you're expecting your first baby and you are feeling a bit like a number in the system. So you're feeling like you've gone to the GP, I'm pregnant. And the GP's gone, great. Bye.
Or that's exactly what happens.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it is what happens.
Or in my case, is that good news?
Is that good news?
Yes, it is. And then you've chosen the hospital you want to deliver at and you've gone to the hospital and you've got 10 minutes with a different midwife at every checkup and you feel a bit like an anonymous number in a system. And having a baby is very special. It's something you're only going to do a handful of times in your life. And women should not be made to feel like an anonymous number in a system. They should feel listened to and informed and empowered and understand their choices in childbirth. So you might come to me because you're expecting your first baby and you don't know what to expect. And you'd like to have some continuity of care. And you'd like to have somebody who you're able to call, email, text, chat, meet up with throughout your pregnancy, who you get to know and trust, who you know that on that day is going to be with you and going to stay with you and is not a stranger coming in the room. And that doula knows your birth choices. She knows what you want and how you want that to go. And as much as is possible, because we all know birth happens as it happens, she will try and make that happen for you. Or you might be coming to me because you've had a baby and it was a very traumatic or difficult experience for you. And you're now wanting a different experience second time round. Or you might come to me because you had a cesarean first time round and you want to have a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after cesarean, and you want some help with that. You might be coming to me because your partner is squeamish, useless, or you may not have a partner.
Yeah.
So there are lots of different reasons why women book doulas.
And so I guess for me, like I would see the main, the main positive for me personally would be having someone consistent throughout the whole thing. Because I had two very different births. So one, we were living out of London, and I did see the same midwife quite a few times throughout, but then she wasn't there on the day.
Right.
Fine.
Yeah.
But my second birth with Gigi, I didn't see the same person twice.
No.
At all. Not at all. Throughout the whole thing. And I think if it had been my first, I would have felt quite worried and a bit let down. But it was my second and I sort of, you know,
just
felt
swallowed
okay.
It up. Yeah.
Yeah. But now looking back, I think having somebody who is there the whole way through, who's got, can answer all your questions and sort of guide you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you don't really get any guidance. You just sort of get... Yeah, okay, so you're gonna have a vaginal birth because you're this, and this. You had this blood test and this is your family history. So, yeah, that's you. You don't really
It's very medical, isn't it? Yeah. It's not necessarily emotional.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily address the kind of other needs, our emotional needs or our kind of mental needs. It's all very much like, well, this is what your body's telling me at the moment, so this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like drowning with fear.
Yeah.
Because it can be, you know, first time around, it can be very terrifying.
Of course, you're heading into the unknown, and anything you've never done before is quite overwhelming.
Mm. So do you talk to women about the different birthing experiences that they might have? Do you go into details about what could happen to their bodies?
Well, I'm more interested in what they are aiming for.
Right.
So I'm listening to what it is they are trying to achieve, and then I will inform them about the pros, the cons, the options that they have, so that they know that they always have options in terms of where they birth their baby, how they birth their baby, what kind of pain relief they might want or not want, and how to cope during the labour. And also, very importantly, to point out that we're not just there for the mother, we're also there for the partner.
Yeah. Of course.
How can they know what to do?
They've
never been in that situation before. And without wanting to generalise or sound sexist, I have found, having been married for a very long time, that when men are presented with a problem, they want to fix the problem. You know, if you tell them, I am hungry, we'll go and eat, I'm tired, we'll go to sleep.
Yeah, they're solutionists.
Yes. Yeah. And when you share a problem with another woman, it's not necessarily because you want that problem fixed. Sometimes you just want it heard. You just want to express it. And having someone listen to you and sympathise with you is enough for you to feel better. So women in labour like to complain a lot. It hurts. I'm tired. I can't. I won't. I'm this. And men's sort of gut reaction is to try and fix the labour. You can't fix labour. It's a waiting game. It needs to be something that you need to sit with and be patient with and wait for it to unfold. Mm. And so when you have a doula with you, they are able to, just by visibly being relaxed and in the room and just putting a gentle hand on or showing that man how to help massage or do a bit of counter pressure, it feeds into a relaxed atmosphere. Mm. So the men get it. Okay, I don't need to be stressed here. I don't need to do anything. I just need to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's enough.
And also, I do think for some men, seeing that, you know, their partner in that much pain, not knowing what's going to happen, they can't do anything about it, that's pretty scary.
It's very distressing for lots of men.
Men need to be equipped better with more information and more I guess information is the word, about what could go wrong and what does happen during labor. You can't go into it blind. Like, we're the ones that are growing the baby and housing the baby and everything is happening to us, but actually it's not really. This is a 50-50, you know, split down the middle, and they've got to take on that responsibility, but they need to be armed with the information and the education. I don't think we're doing enough in our society to make that happen, so immediately they're feeling alienated, because I think they should walk in there going, right, I know what to do here.
Yeah.
You know, I've had those conversations, rather than feeling slightly marginalised.
Yeah. And that midwife in the room is there for the mother and the baby. She doesn't give a shit about the father. He is of no concern to her whatsoever. But he is still a human being. That is his baby coming into the world. And it is, as you said, quite distressing. So a doula is able to take him aside and say, listen, those noises she's making, they're good noises because it's telling me that the baby's on its way. And you see what they're doing there. It's just a very simple procedure to try and fix this and help with this.
Right.
And you can also show them comfort measures so that they are able to provide some physical help. But what I say to all the dads, because they all ask the same thing, what should I do? What should I be doing? I say, look, what you need to do is be there, because you're the only other person who's as invested in that baby as the mum is.
Mm.
So just a look. I don't know if you experience this with your own partners, but sometimes just someone looking at you, knowing that you're loved, knowing that you're safe, just bring that to the room. That's enough.
Oh, I mean, I think I fell in love with my husband more when, and we weren't married at the time, but, you know, more after what we went through together as a couple, because he didn't leave my side for the entire three days. This was the first labour. And even when I was being sick and, you know, bleeding and vomit, you know, it was just horrendous. He was just there. He didn't even go and get snacks. And if you met my husband, you know, he's this giant monster of a man who can't go without food for like an hour. And he didn't even say, I haven't eaten for 2 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I had a really great experience with him, but yeah. I'm sure other people's experiences might not be the same.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had my husband and my mum there,
right?
And I feel like my mum acted as my doula
for sure.
Yeah, so she knows my husband, he's squeamish, mm-hmm. doesn't like needles, doesn't like anything like that, but she kept him like at a good level of stress.
Yeah,
so excited but not tipping over the edge to yep. stress and worried. He's a bit more of a worrier than I am. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I had a good experience both times, really.
Did you want, like, how did that conversation go down? Because I think if I had told Dozza, I want my mum there, he would have gone, absolutely no way.
Really?
Yeah, because she's really irritating sometimes. And like, because it's a very, he would see it and I would see the same, that it's a very personal thing for us and it was the two of us needed to yeah. do it together. But so how did you bring up that conversation with him?
We didn't really. We just, I guess he always thought my mum would be there.
Mm.
We're really? Yeah, I mean, most of my friends have had their mums there.
Have they?
Yeah. Most of my friends, I think... Yeah, they have actually. Yeah, most of my friends have had their mums and their husbands. So whenever we've spoken about it with our friends, it's always been, oh, my mum was there because she did, you know, she went off and got the snacks, or, you know, she was there to be the extra person.
There you go.
Yeah, and then I think my nan was at my birth. My nan was at the birth of her daughter.
How special.
Yeah, and not to be interfering, mm-hmm. but to provide support, I guess, for Absolutely. Both of us, so that both of us had somebody.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I just wondered what James thought.
Yeah.
But he doesn't mind.
I think he was happy to have
someone to bring him snacks.
And most men are.
Yeah. And also to not worry, you know, like, oh, you need to run and get the car seat or whatever. He knew that if he was going to do that, I still had somebody there, or, you know, to go and do the snack run, or, you know, just if someone needed a break, one of them was always going to be there.
In your situation, in those 3 days, a doula would have allowed him to have gone and get snacks or had a nap or run to the car. So sometimes you are providing also just a practical extra pair of hands to do stuff.
Yeah.
And to enable the partner to be able to enjoy the birth to the capacity they can without feeling they're fully responsible for everything all the time, because that's hard on any person.
Yeah, of course it is, especially in that environment, because it can go from being quite a kind of calm to quite highly stressed, depending on what's going on with the labour. Now, do you kind of arm your clients with all eventualities, as in what might happen if they want to have a water birth, it might turn out, do you kind of tell them what can change?
I do antenatal preparation sessions, so we will go through pretty much everything there is to go through, and they normally do their own antenatal classes as well, so they will have been taught in that, you know, what goes on, and at some point during the pregnancy what feels right to them will come to the foreground. You know, they will connect with, I really want to have the baby in the water, or I actually really think I want an epidural, or I want to have the baby at home. And so that's what we'll talk through, and that's what we'll plan for.
So we'll be back right after this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds.
Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Now, where were we? And do most of your clients, I'll call them.
Do we call them the clients?
Parents? Or?
I would say clients. Some dealers would have a problem with that, but I think it's okay.
Yeah. Do they, because for me, the second time round, there wasn't time to have an epidural.
Yep.
And there wasn't, so that was fine. But I think sometimes there is time and a midwife might not want you to have one. Are you there to say this is what she wants to have, so this is the time, or if you want to have an epidural, now's the time?
So my clients will choose all sorts of things, and I support anything from home birth with not even a whiff of gas and air to elective cesareans and everything in between. And doulas, good doulas, should come without an agenda.
That was going to be my next question.
So it's absolutely irrelevant how I chose to have my own children. I am finished having my own children and I chose to have them in the way I chose to have them. So even when I'm asked, what did you do? I'll always say, when you've had your baby, we'll talk about my births. And they're never interested after they've had their own babies. But, you know, there are women who come to you thinking, is she going to judge if I opt to do X, Y, Z? There is no judgment. All we're there to do is support your wishes and your needs. So, yes, I've supported everything.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, because I think maybe the first time round I wouldn't have opted for a home birth, but the second time round, now I look back, it was very straightforward. It was very quick. That, you know, it sort of happened.
Talk about what Georgia. Apparently, Georgia did through her labour. She just went.
I just put my hand up.
Squeak.
And I just.
Just a hand.
That was it. Okay. And then back down again. I could have had a home birth. I really could have.
Yes.
But I didn't even consider it.
Why?
Because no one even spoke to me about it.
That's a shame.
They sort of said, oh, maybe you could be a candidate for a home birth. And I was like, yeah, no, thanks. Anyway, carry on. You know, I didn't get told, oh, actually, usually second time round, this happened in your first, so.
But home birth rates in the UK are horrendously low. If you have had a straightforward pregnancy and you are healthy and there are no complications, and especially if you have had a very straightforward birth the first time round, there's no reason why you shouldn't have a baby at home. There is this kind of myth that it is only for like the nutters, the hippies, the crazies, and that it's dangerous. It couldn't be further from the truth. You know, you have a dedicated midwife and at 8 centimetres, 2 dedicated midwives who are in your house with you.
Yeah.
So they're only looking after you. They're not looking after the other women in the other 2 or 3 rooms, because in hospital, that's the reality.
Sure.
Midwives are terribly overstretched. They are having to look after more than one woman at a time. And at the first hint of something not being okay, you will be transferred into hospital.
Mm.
So from my experience, I would say a lot of the home births are actually safer than being in a hospital.
Because they've got more people and more sort of dedicated people.
Because they're just there for you.
Just there for you, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's actually home birth is something, you're right, I probably used to think, hippie and, you know.
But so did I, to be honest.
I really did, yeah.
Until I saw it. And this year, actually, the first 2 births of the year were both home births.
Wow.
And when you see that mother, after she's had her baby, tucked up in her own bed with her baby, with her own mug, with her own tea, with her own toast from her kitchen, you realise actually how abnormal having a baby in hospital
is. Where do you have a baby at home?
I guess it depends. If you're going to have a pool, then lots of couples would set it up in the living room, I guess, because that's where the biggest space is. And also you'd need access to a tap. So you'd have it somewhere where you can put a hose. Lots of women labour in their bedrooms because they feel safe. You know,
That's amazing.
We're just mammals at the end of the day.
Sure.
We're just animals. And to be able to birth, you need to feel safe and secure and private. So women love to labour in their downstairs toilets, because they're used to being alone and in the dark and able to do private things without being interfered with in their downstairs toilets.
I mean, that'd probably be the first baby, because after the first child, you never get to wee again on your own.
Exactly.
You're never on your own ever.
So the toilet is actually my number one place to put women in labour. You sit them on the toilet and you shut the door. and magic happens.
No way.
Oh, yes.
It makes sense that if you're comfortable in your surroundings, you relax. Because second time with Gigi, I was tense the second I got in there. Mm-hmm. But then someone went into like full-blown pushing in the same room. So they had to get me out.
Gosh.
And as soon as they got me out of there and I was in my own room and in a really relaxed environment, I felt completely different. Mm. And I don't like hospitals anyway. So it all felt very like, you know, like where you just sort of tense up. And I did feel completely different when I was on my own and sort of, taken into a different environment.
It makes total sense.
And so if you come to a couple and they say, right, we want to have an elective C-section, how do you support them in that? Are you there in the room? Are you not? I mean,
well, it's dependent on every hospital, because many hospitals have a one partner policy.
Right, okay.
So it would depend. Sometimes you have couples where actually the father doesn't want to be in theatre for whatever reasons, or the mother would prefer that you're in theatre. In which case, yes, you would go in and wait for them, because you know it can be a long wait. Even if you're on a list, someone may have an emergency and you get bumped down the list. So it's a question of going into hospital, keeping the parents calm and distracted and prepared, and then sometimes attending in theatre, sometimes not. Sometimes you'll be waiting and the partner will go into theatre, and then you'll be in recovery with them afterwards, and you'll be assisting with breastfeeding and settling them down.
Or bottle feeding if you choose to do that as well.
Or bottle feeding if you choose that.
So at the end of the podcast, we like to ask our guests, what is the one piece of advice that they wish that they'd been told, or the best piece of advice that they'd ever been given?
It's a saying, right? But I really like it.
Okay, great. Okay. I like it.
It's very simple. This too shall pass.
Oh, yeah. Right? Great saying. Yeah.
Everything is a phase. Mm. However hard it is going to pass. So I really like that. And also asking for help when you have had a baby and you are feeling overwhelmed for whatever reason that might be. Asking for help is a strength. It is not a weakness. Asking for help is not giving up. It is actually refusing to give up. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. And also I think this is the key to everything just generally in life. And we should be telling our babies this from the day they are born. You are enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like to say that as well, don't we?
But my top tips, I suppose, would be one, get a doula. Why would you not get a doula? And there are also postpartum doulas, which I haven't mentioned. I am not one, but there are postpartum doulas who come in afterwards and help you with the baby. Prep meals in advance. So when you're cooking in that last couple of months of pregnancy, make double, freeze half. And in those evenings when you're exhausted, rather than order a pizza, you've got a really nice home-cooked meal in your freezer that you've already made. It's like a gift to yourself.
Love that.
Have a baby moon. Have time with the two of you and that baby together. Visitors can wait. The baby's not going anywhere. And when visitors come, this is the rule. Come, bring food, go away.
That's brilliant. That's the best piece of advice we've heard all series.
Can't bring food, go away. How old does that go to?
I mean, I could be a little ruder, but I'm keeping it polite. I'm keeping it
PG. No, you can say fuck off.
Yeah. That's my rule. Yeah. Come, bring food, fuck off. That's the rule, right, for new parents. And keep an open mind when it comes to the birth. A birth is like a wedding. You can plan it down to the minute, but on the day it is going to have a momentum of its own. The prize is the baby. So don't go in saying, I don't care what happens to me, it doesn't matter, because it does matter. It has a big effect on your self-esteem and how you are able to mother that baby. But keep an open mind and have an idea of what you would like to happen and inform yourself.
Yeah.
And go into it feeling informed and positive. Labour is a mindset. It is a mind game.
Yeah. We're never going to do it again, Georgia.
No,
so we
we're
can
not.
Just
me live neither.
It. We live it through these amazing stories.
Yeah. Well,
thank you so much, Lauren. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Thank you for having me.
Amazing chat. I'm so much more informed about doulas now.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to push them onto everyone. Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks.
Well, that was so interesting.
It was. Do you know what? I think my mum was my doula.
Your mum is your everything.
Yeah, I mean, she is, and she's been taken away from me from the last 3 months.
Welcome to the real world, kiddo. No, you know what? You've actually, you know, well, we won't get into what, because it's been hard for you. You've been a solo parenting, basically. Now James is back at football, and it's been super tough. None of us have had any help.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Do you know what? He isn't actually even back properly, but he might as well bloody be back because he's never here. Oh. He's always training somewhere.
Somewhere.
He's definitely got the right idea, hasn't he?
If you could go back and do your time again, do you reckon you'd have a doula?
I don't know. It's hard because I did have my mum, and I think that's what Lauren was saying, wasn't it? It's like sometimes that's what people need. I guess if I wasn't living close to my mum at the time, yes, definitely I would. Would you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I really wanted to. After the you know, the labour with Luna and how long it went on for and how I felt afterwards, I was like, right, second time round has got to be different. I definitely didn't want to experience as much pain, and I really, really tried to kind of have, I don't know, a natural, but I don't know why I still was sort of thinking, oh, I'll do it without the epidural and da da da. When it came to it and the contraction started, I was like, right, epidural. So yeah. I don't think I'm built for it, if I'm honest with you. Like, I remember Nadia Zawala's story about how she just loves a home birth, and she just imagined that her vagina was made of butter and her baby just came out. It's like my vagina was made of like Velcro and the baby just got stuck and didn't want to come out. I definitely don't have a buttery vagina. So I just don't. I think some people are really built for it, and some people have the mindset for it, and others, like me, don't.
But it doesn't matter either way. Like, there is no medal. Like, no. I had two very different births. Like, they were both actually positive, and one was an epidural and one wasn't. So there's, and I don't actually think of them in any different way, like, at all. Like, not at all. I'm not like, oh, Gigi, you're the chosen one because I didn't have an epidural. I mean, I don't even really think about it. No, I mean, it doesn't matter how you have your baby. If you'd have asked me before I had Axel, I'd have said I'll have a planned C-section. Definitely. That was always what I thought I would do. Always, 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 always. And I don't really know why I didn't. Probably because a midwife taught me out of it. And it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, at the moment, obviously, we probably discuss with our friends our birthing stories because it's still relatively new, isn't it? Like, the last few years. Yeah. But really, in like 5 years' time, are we still going to be talking to our mates about it? Probably
we're
not.
Well on the podcast.
on here we will. It's not a day-to-day thing. I don't know. I really think whatever you want to do is right.
You're absolutely right there, and that's always our message on Made by Mamas, isn't it, that whatever choice you make is the right choice because it's the choice that you've made yourself. But I think it would be interesting to be, if we could just be, you know, morphed into somebody else's body for a moment and just, you know, be in that sort of hippie state where I'm kind of, I've got all my oils going and my candles lit and I'm just like stepping into my power and pushing a bit. Like, that would be quite cool to experience that, because that's not the experience that I had. I obviously had the epidural and then pooed myself. So slightly different for me, G, wasn't it?
Okay,
I'm never going to get rid of that.
No, you're not. It's so funny. Oh my God.
Listen, we're not going to do products today. We're going to also, obviously, on a Tuesday, we normally have, you know, a sort of maybe a well-known face, and then we have our expert on a Friday. But we just wanted to mix things up in lockdown and keep you on your toes.
Keep you alive in lockdown.
We've got a really exciting guest lined up for Friday, and we can't wait to tell you who that is. But it's going to be a no hold barred chat, definitely.
It is. It's going to be really exciting. So we will be back on Friday, and as always, please. I sound like I'm begging and desperate, and I am begging and desperate. Please leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us. Mm. It really, really does help get the podcast out there, and we want as many parents as possible to listen to it.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much. And as always, you can send us a message at Made by Mamas or on my personal account at Zoe Hardman. And as G said, we're going to be back on Friday with another amazing chat, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We know times are very difficult right now, and if you want any more information about coronavirus, go to nhs.uk/coronavirus.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.